this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Ayn Sawyer and, of course, her book, Song of Saigon, One Woman's Journey to Freedom. Ayn, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us. And, of course, so this is really a very powerful and touching book about a young woman raised in Vietnam. It's really about her family. And, of course, I was really quite unaware of the fact that there was a significant number, or at least a number of Protestants there. I knew that Vietnam was predominantly Catholic, but certainly there was a large Protestant contingent there, and she was raised as a Protestant. The story really goes into the background of her grandfather, who was an opium addict, and how he eventually became a born-again Christian and never again felt a desire to use narcotics, and how, of course, she was raised in a Christian family, and then, of course, those terrible days when Saigon was going to fall. So where should we start with the story there, Ayn?
Yes, of course. There was not, and there is still not, a significant a number of Protestants in Vietnam. From what I was told, is less than 1% of the Vietnamese population who are a Protestant. But there's a group of us there. And we can start with the story by I'm telling you a little bit about me growing up in the war, if it's okay with you.
Please do.
Many people asked me that the question, how old I was when I realized that there was a war in Vietnam. And my answer was that I never knew of a moment that we did not have war in my whole entire life in Vietnam. Same with my father, and same with my father's father. For thousands of years, hundreds of years, Vietnam was always under war. We had 1,000 years under the Chinese, 100 years under the French, 50 years under the Japanese, and then the American War, and then the Communists took over. But actually, the absence of war since 1975, after the fall of Saigon, in a way, even though it's under communism, where the freedom of speech, freedom of worship, much of the freedom that we take granted in this country is not given in Vietnam. But the fact that there's the absence of war in Vietnam had helped the Vietnamese to recover and to rebuilding some of their life in their country. And one of the stories that I share with a lot of listeners, just to give you a glimpse or feeling of what it's like to live in a war zone, in a war-torn country, was that we could never sleep through the night. In this country, you go to bed and then you get up the next day. In our country, it's never like that, because throughout the night, as long as I could remember, we always heard explosions of shelling or rockets around us. And I remember in the morning, every morning when we woke up, our whole entire body would be covered with a thin of dust came from the ceiling due to the the explosion of the rockets around us. And my sister used to be very afraid of the whole thing. And as children, we were always afraid. We saw so many funerals, processions, in front of our house almost every week. And we knew of relatives and friends that were killed at the war or because of these rockets or landmines or grenades being thrown at the market. So we always afraid that we would die in the next, or my brother, our parents would die. So my sister just pinched me, just so scared, and I told her, just go to sleep. Let's assume that we're going to get hit and we've been blown to bit. And in the morning, when we wake up, we were already dead, but we're in heaven with God. And so that was the comfort for us. I left Vietnam when I was 20, and that thought has been our comfort, that no matter what, even in death, God will meet us and thus carry us through the years of war that we have to live with.
Our guest this afternoon is Ayn Sawyer, and Ayn was, of course, within Vietnam at the time of the Vietnam War, and escaped as Saigon was following her book. Is Song of Saigon, One Woman's Journey to Freedom. And really, of course, as you read this book, it makes you realize how important freedom really is. And of course, the problem that we have in America today is most Americans don't value their freedom. They take it for granted. And most Christians think that they don't have to be involved because nothing bad's ever going to happen here. And yet, of course, it was American policies that have brought on so many of the terrible problems. And the reason we have the problems is because the good people in America have not been concerned about what our government was doing in its policies, many times disastrous to the people in the countries that we've dominated. And, of course, one day we will be held responsible, not even for what we've done, but what we haven't done. We still have a heritage of freedom here, but it needs to be reclaimed now, or it can be lost forever, because freedom is never free. It has to be purchased during every generation. And I would simply ask what you out there in the listening audience are doing. So let's get on with Ayn's story, because she was growing up as an adolescent here in war-torn Vietnam. And, of course, tell about the story. Why don't you tell a little bit about the story of what happened, as Saigon was eventually beginning to fall, and you suddenly realized that the communists were going to take over the country, and, of course, your family was, moderately prosperous there. You had two of your brothers, one brother and one sister. One was in the United States. Another one was over in France, I think. So go ahead with the story.
Yes. At that time, towards the very end of April in 1975, we have six brothers and sisters all together, including me. My brother and my sister, my older brother and sister, were already in the U.S. studying, and all my sisters in Germany. It was for the whole time. It was very scary, and we saw a lot of soldiers retreating. And I will read you very quickly, very short of part of the book that I wrote. I wrote, I didn't know exactly how I could fit into God's plan. But by the time I turned 20 in March 1975, I was emboldened by an overriding sense of assurance that the war would not destroy my family. Week by week, the North Vietnamese army was drawing closer to Saigon. And yet, even rumors of a takeover mounted, I never doubted that God would act on our behalf. And he did. The very last day before Saigon fell, on the 20th of April, we have a 24-hour curfew where no one should be on the street. And we heard someone bang on our gate, and the voice kept saying, "Open the gate." And my nanny said, "That sounds like Fong, who is my brother, and he studied in America at that time." And my mother said, "That's impossible. Fong is in America. He is safe. He wouldn't be stupid enough to come home." And sure enough, the voice out of the gate beyond our courtyard said, "Open the gate. This is Fong." And so we all rushed out to open the gate for him to come in. And the first thing my mother said was, "How stupid could you be? You were safe. Why did you come home?" And he said, "I have to let you go, that American people have decided not to help the Vietnamese with the war anymore, and you must leave as soon as possible." And I knew that was a miracle, that God helped my brother to come home. And you see, he didn't fly home like normal people did. He didn't, buy a ticket, get to the airport, take the plane, and get landed to the airport, because our airplane were bombarded at that time. And there's no more commercial airplane in and out. So he flew into Guam, and then from Guam, he took a position as a Red Cross volunteer and were lifted by the helicopter to the Saigon American Embassy. And from there, he got a ride from an American soldier to our home.
And so, of course, he came to try to get you out of there.
Exactly.
But, of course, there was no way he could really do that. And, of course, he took you to the American Embassy, and they weren't about to make any arrangements for you to get out. You weren't American citizens. And so it really appeared that then you were going to be trapped in Vietnam when the North Vietnamese came
That's
in.
Right.
And of course, they've never told the American people how many people were killed, sent to re-education camps. And, of course, if you'd cooperated with the Americans, you were kept there for many, many years, imprisoned, in slave labor as punishment for helping the Americans. And, of course, you never knew what was going to happen. I don't know how many people were slaughtered at that time. They don't tell the American people that because the American people abandoned the people who put their faith in us. And that is what's so tragic. But this is really an amazing story. So how did you actually get out of Vietnam at that time? And we're going to have to take a break here in just a moment.
Sure.
And when we get back, Ayn is going to tell you that story. Her name is spelled A-H-N, A-N-H, but it's pronounced Ayn. So Ayn Sawyer is our guest today. Her book, Song of Saigon, a very inspiring true story of one young woman's faith. And, of course, having the opportunity eventually to come to America and, of course, to really to be free. And I think you value your freedom much more after you have read this very important book. We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest today is Ayn Sawyer, and she's going to tell us the story of how she and her family escaped from Saigon here, and of course, as the North Vietnamese army is advancing on their city, everybody's beginning to panic. Everybody knows that terrible things are about to befall the people, at least there in Saigon, especially if you've had anything to do with the Americans, and so pick up the story from there.
Yes. So, like what you said, my brother took us back to the American Embassy, and we were told that there were so many people there already, and they were Americans. They had the priority to be lifted out. So my mother forced my brother to return to the embassy and go back home to California with his wife. And so we said goodbye then. Even then, I sensed that despair was heavy, but I just knew in my heart of hearts that God gave me hope the day before, and He would continue to give me hope. And we came home. My parents were very depressed. My brothers and my younger brothers and my sister were also depressed. They all just took shelter somewhere in their bedroom. But I remember praying that, God, please come and help us. And that very same day, we heard from a cousin that the American church in Saigon, an American pastor would help the Vietnamese Protestants to leave Saigon. And so the next day, we got up really early and we planned for that. The only thing is the 24-hour curfew was still on, and we didn't have enough transportation for the six of us to leave. And as I continued to pray, my friends and my cousins and some of my mother's students showed up at the house. They wanted to know how we were, and some of them also wanted to borrow food because the open market was closed. And my mother said, please take us to the American church. And so we all, six of us, piled onto a bicycle and motorcycles, and we were taken to the American church. When we got there, there were hundreds of people there already, and they all heard the same rumor, except the American pastor was not there. And someone there, and my mother was about to faint again. She was so fearful. And I told her, "Mother, God has given us motorcycles and bicycles to make it here. He will give us a flying machine." And she said, she thought that I was talking rubbish, but in some way, somehow, it gave her hope. So
why did you think that there would be a flying machine for you?
I have no idea. God gave me this impression in my heart that there would be a flying machine, but it appeared to be very impossible because at that time we were in this American church on the street that has lots of houses. There's no runway or anything like that. I don't know why I told my mother that. But anyway, you have to wait. I tell you the rest of the story, and then you will see the flying machine. And my nanny would come with one of my cousins to bring lunch for us. And then after lunch, my mother said, "Just go home. Just go home and lock the house up," because we were afraid that people would come and loot the house. A lot of that was happening at that time. So my cousins and my nanny left us at the church. And right after they left, someone had a shortwave radio. On the radio, the announcer said that the communist people were arriving at the outskirts of Saigon with tanks and soldiers. And so just about everybody in the church left the church immediately. Actually, everybody except my family and one of my uncles. And because we didn't have transportation to go home, but we didn't want to be caught in a church, let alone as an American church. So I made a suggestion that let's just leave the church. Let's just leave the church, period. So we left the church, and we turned around a couple corners, and we saw a huge crowd. We were standing just on the outside the crowd, and my mother asked the people around us, "What is going on? It's 24-hour curfew. How come people are here?" And we were told, "Oh, this is the backside of the American church. And beyond that gate over there, there's a flying machine taking people to America." And I remember standing there, marveling at the fact that only 10, 20 meters, then only 10 or 20 meters, then I will get freedom. You know, I didn't know how this could happen, but then this is the truth. God knows this is, I'm telling you the truth. In a sudden, the crowd parted. Someone was fainted or something happening because people were stampeded. So they have to take these bodies out. And before I knew it, we were right at the gate. And the very next second, I saw my younger brother, up at the gate. And then my other brother and my sister, they pulled up my mom.
And we're going to be right back in just a minute to tell the rest of this amazing story of the rescue of this family from Saigon. Thousands, millions, they didn't escape, but they did. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARN. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently why the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that, you know, in times like this, you need a convenient means of filtering your water. Now, there is something called the Big Berkey. It's actually a water filter, a gravity water filter. It's been used by missionaries for well over 150 years, and it's attractive. It's stainless steel, and, of course, you put the water in the top, and it goes through the filters, and it comes out the bottom crystal clear. And certainly why you this fills out germs and bacteria and cryptosporidium and many of the tastes and even some of the chlorine. And certainly the water is potable. That's how the missionaries were able to survive in Africa or many other places in the world. And you need a means of purifying your drinking water. Now, the Big Berkey is not available in California or Iowa, but it is available many other places all across America. Ordinarily, they're $279.95. We offer the Big Berkey for $239.95 and we $10 for shipping. We provide you either one of our videos or one of our four tape sets if you buy that. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. As for the Big Berkey water filter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Ayn Sawyer. We're talking about her wonderful book, The Song of Saigon, and really she's telling now, of course, there's chaos in Saigon. Everybody knows the communists are coming, and she and her family, her mother, father, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Two brothers and one sister, so
right.
Four of us.
So you're just outside the gates, and there's just no way you're going to be able to get in. So what happens?
Yes, and the soldiers, a Mike and soldier, were on top of the gate with barbed wire all around them, and they would beat people up with sticks and tear gas or whatever, so people could not get in.
But everybody was clamoring to get in, frantic
exactly.
To get in, fearful. You know, they knew that terrible things were going to happen when the communists did come in, and of course, the people were at that. Well, we won't talk about what happened, but well, let's talk about how you and your family were able to get out.
Yes. And then, for some reason, the Lord allowed it to happen that we all made it to the gate, except my father. And I remember, I didn't know what to do. The gate was so high, and my father was still down there, and he didn't have anyone to help hoisting him up. And for some reason, I had such incredible courage to turn to this American soldier who happened to be next to me, and his job was to pushing people down. I told him in my very little English that please help my father. And for some reason, it is a miracle that he squatted down, raised his hand, bent down, and pulled my father up. Anyway, so immediately after that, we jumped from the platform down the gate, but to make a long story short, you can find the rest of the book. We got we walked through a courtyard to a big area, a huge outdoor area with a big swimming pool. And that's where thousands more people were there already. And there on both sides of the swimming pool, there were two gates, one gate on each side. And beyond one gate, there was, on the grass, there was a helicopter. And on the other gate, there was nobody. And it just locked up. But nobody, even the soldiers, were not even there. And they couldn't open the door. It reminded me of Times Square on New Year Eve night. And I remember the afternoon was fading and the evening was arriving. I started to pray. I remember the message on the radio that at nightfall, the communists will be entering the heart of Saigon. And for some reason, the Lord gave me a vision that I should be in the other side of the swimming pool, go to the gate where no one was there. So I convinced my parents to give up their spot in the huge crowd to go over there. And for some reason, they listened to me. And people asked, why are you leaving? Where are you going? And we said, we tried to make it to the other gate. And very gladly, they made room for us to leave. And on our way there, and a couple more families followed us because they were all the way in the back. So they thought that they had nothing to lose. When we were up on that gate, we couldn't see any, we couldn't see any soldier or any plane. But as I was looking around, and I looked up, I saw a man with white hair standing on a flat rooftop of another building. And we waved at this man, and we said, we are order, we are good, let us through. Because they could not open the other gate. Every time the soldiers make any little movement, the crowd would start stampeding each other to get to that gate. And I still remember this man, this white-haired man, motion of bending down, talking to this thing in his hand, and then soldiers appearing from beyond the other side to our gate. And immediately the crowd follow that, just like a humongous swarm of flies or bees or whatever. People jump into the swimming pool, running, whatever. And so, but the soldier opened the gate. My family got through. The couple behind us got through. And then two children of the family behind the couple made it. And then the soldier had to lock the gate again. And the children ran back to the parents. But the parents was crying, screaming, begging the people behind us to take the kids with them. And we knew, the grown-up knew what were they doing. So they dragged the kids with us as they were screaming, and the soldiers directed us to walk on this, like a fire escape, outdoor fire escape, to the rooftop. And when we were up there, we saw a flying machine, a Huey helicopter, and the soldiers motioned us to pile in, to lie down, and then they slammed shut the door. I remember when I
said, we're going to be back in just a moment here. That's Radio Liberty. That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention several other products that we have here at Radio Liberty. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course, there's a regular soap and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer and a gel and a lotion, and we can't make any medical claims for the products other than to say that they're excellent products. The soap is excellent soap. Many of the people who use them give us all sorts of wonderful, wonderful stories. All we can do is tell you that we've used them for a period of time. We're very, very happy with them, and most of our business is a return business. So if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you'll learn more about Miracle 2 soap, and hopefully you'll want to use it, and some of our listeners actually keep giving it to others, and that's how really it's by word of mouth that people learn about Miracle 2 soap products. Again, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we're carrying a wonderful book. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And basically, there's a section in there, what do you do if there's a biological attack? Well, believe me, if we have a biological attack, all the duct tape and the fiberglass or the plastic covering for your windows is not going to help you. What you need to do is right now begin building up your immune system. And so basically there's a chapter in this book on what to do, how to build up your immune system. And there's so much information the government knows, and they're not telling the American people. In fact, as we'll be having Dr. Blaylock on this program tomorrow, he'll tell you the products the government is using, but never mentioning to the public. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. There's a separate 4-tape set you can get, Life-Saving Secrets, but give us a call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Ayn Sawyer. We're talking about this amazing book that she's written. It's really a very heartwarming book. And, of course, the faith of a young a Protestant girl living in Vietnam as the city is falling. And, of course, as I read the book, I thought of America. If America were to fall, where would you out there in the listening audience go? What country would take you? And, of course, the fear, the terror, you know, we're entering World War III, whether you realize that or not. That's what's really behind everything going on today, and behind that are dark, sinister spirits of forces, which nobody wants to address. Their goal, a new world order, a new world religion, the destruction of Christianity and Judaism and the Muslim religion, the three great religions that are monotheistic. Now, we disagree with the Muslim faith, but there is an organized plan to kill off large numbers of Muslims. And, of course, we're beginning along that path today. In fact, we're told that if, indeed, Saddam Hussein uses any chemical weapons, why, of course, we will retaliate with nuclear bombs. Remember, Saddam Hussein did not release nuclear, pardon me, biological weapons last night, and chemical weapons. We did when we blew up the bunker at Kampuchea. Well, right now we have with us Ayn Sawyer. She's telling the story of their family's escape. And here you've got this entire family against all odds. And pick up the story there, Ayn.
Yes. Anyway, I that was the end, that we were in the helicopter. But the most important thing that I can never forget is that when I heard the whirring of the blades, helicopter blades, above my head, an incredible sensation that took over me, that I felt I got to live. I got to live, and it's almost like you were diagnosed with a very deadly cancer, and the doctor told you that you have only 2 months to live, and then the last day of that 2 months, when you're ready and you gave up life, your doctor said, you are fine, the cancer's gone, you got to live again. You didn't believe it, but you believe it, but at the same time, you were just so overcome with the fact that life is wonderful and life is great. And, you know, you talked about freedom earlier. Americans, people need to be reminded that why is that so many people from all over the world risk their life to come here because of that freedom, the freedom that they can be the best they can be, the freedom to know that they can do whatever they can for their future. But the most important thing, in my opinion, is that you have the freedom to worship. You have the freedom to look for who God is. And, you know, this is a great nation. It is, in a way, heaven on earth. I just really hope that Americans, including myself, that we will not become numb to the knowledge that God has given us all of these things for a reason. And the Bible did say that for though he's given much, he would ask much also. I think we need to return to God in prayer, in repentance, and in a pure heart. You know, this war thing with Iraq, we never know if we will make the right decision or not. You see, right before the Geneva Treaty took place in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh was the leader of Vietnam at that time, leading the Vietnamese to fight against the French. And President Truman, with the wisdom that he has at that time, and you know, he could not read the future at that time, he had to accept the French domination of Vietnam as the barrier against communism spreading into into Indochina. And so Ho Chi Minh wrote President Truman a letter, beseeched President Truman with the messages from the Declaration of the Independence for America to promote the freedom and liberty for all men. And President Truman turned his back because at that time it was important to protect his people and to protect the world from communism. And he didn't know that only a decade later the communists took over Vietnam, and then 2 decades later, 1975, American people withdrew from Vietnam, and the communists had the victory, you know, winning over Vietnam, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm trying to say is that none of us know the future. Only God knows. We must come to Him and ask God what we should do, where, as individuals, as churches, and as a nation. God is not a religious God. He's a very personal God. And He really loves everybody, including the people in Iraq, the people in Vietnam. He loves every one of us. And His message is for every one of us to receive salvation. So what I want to do with this war that's looming around the corner here, I don't want to see war, even though I do believe that war is necessary. And God allowed it to happen in the Old Testament and many times. But we must say, we must be humble. We must come to God. And we really have to seek His will for our life and for our nation. We cannot, I don't know how to explain that to you. Forgive me for saying that, but sometimes Americans appear to be so proud and so sure of what we're doing. We really think that we know the answer.
Well, of course, there's an old American saying, as much pride cometh before a fall.
But of course, in
Iraq today, at least in the Christian section of Iraq, they can use the Bible in the schools, the Christian Bible. They can use the Christian Bible in Russia today in the schools. They have reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion.
Yes.
But, of course, we can't use it in America. Mm-hmm. And we can't because the church refuses and the ministers refuse to take a stand against unrighteousness. And that's the big problem we have. There are a few ministers who have the courage to speak out, but with most of them, well, they have far more fear of government than they have of God. So we've got real problems, and I believe that whenever a country flaunts God's laws and embraces paganism and hedonism and the things that we're embracing in America today, and there is no opposition, why God eventually turns His back on that nation. And that may well be what's happening today. So anyway, of course, you and your family were able to get onto the helicopter, and but you had no idea where you were going.
No, we had no idea we were going. Actually, it's kind of very funny because when we made the helicopter drop us off at the Midway aircraft carrier, and then from there we went on to a ship. We were, you know, dropped into a ship. And then from a ship, we were put to Subic Bay, and we thought that was America. We asked people, oh, are we in America? And people said, no, no, this is only Subic Bay.
This is actually the Philippines.
That's right.
Right, okay.
And then we were taken to Wake Island, and we thought, oh, this is America. How wonderful. And people said, no, no, there is still the Philippines. And then we were taken to Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, but we were with lots and lots of Vietnamese refugees. So we were not really, for almost 9 months, I was not, even though we thought we were in America, but we didn't really see the American culture until we arrived in Chicago, where Christ Church of Oak Brook sponsored our family.
And of course, I think it's very interesting that apparently some of the churches did actually sponsor the Vietnamese families here and
yes,
help them and provide for them until they could get on their own. And of course, the Vietnamese are very industrious people. It wasn't very long before everybody had a job and you were able to look after yourself. But what was it, 3 or 4 months that, or 6 months that the good people in that church looked after you and helped you?
Yes. Yeah, actually, we're still friends to this day. As a matter of fact, I want you to know, my husband works for a humanitarian organization, a non-religious organization, that bring a lot of medical doctors to Vietnam to help the Vietnamese people. And Christ Church of Oak Brook is one of the churches that provide us with personnel and resources for us to be able to make this possible for the Vietnamese.
Well, of course, even in Vietnam today, why, of course, the living standards really aren't very good, are they?
Oh, my goodness. You know, we're lucky that in Vietnam that we have food to eat. But actually, in the big city, people start to have free enterprise now. The government allows them to have some freedom to invest and to make business. But the outskirts of the city, which is the majority of the country, the people are still very poor.
Well, now, what about the freedom of religion in Vietnam? Is there any freedom of religion?
No, no, because it is a communist country. So it's like a game.
Now, of course, then in a communist country, they don't allow any mention of God in schools.
No, they don't. You know what, though? Freedom of anything is very limited.
Right.
It's like a game, like a cat and mouse game to control people. And it is a fear factor thing that they can use very effective to control the people. There is a church in Hanoi that church was helped founded by my grandfather in the 20s. And but it's still illegal for you to proselytize. And the people in the highlands were the ones that really suffered the most at the moment as Christians. So you all could pray for them.
No, the Christians were persecuted even much more than the rest of the population.
Yes, yes.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And how can people get copies of your book, The Song of Saigon?
You can get them through any of the bookstores, a regular bookstore, a Christian bookstore. Or you can order them in Amazon.com, but it should be in the bookstore on the 18th.
Okay, that's Saigon, The Song of Saigon.
That's right.
And it's available through Amazon.com. Is it available now at Amazon.com?
Yes, yes.
All right, fine. What about Baker & Taylor and some of the other lights?
I am not aware of that.
All right, fine. Well, Baker & Taylor is one of the largest distributors in the country, but Amazon.com.
But you know what, though? You can ask them. I'm sure they will get them for you.
All right, fine. Yes. The book, then, is Song of Saigon, and it's really a very touching, a wonderful book. It's a book of faith and a book of inspiration. It's a book I think everybody should read to value freedom. Or maybe if you don't value freedom, you should read the book because you may value it a great deal more after having read the book. Well, of course, we've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, very quick one. I'd just like to ask your guest if she thinks, are there any Christian or other common decency moral imperatives which she feels should hold sway in the United States decisions to hold trade with, for, or against communist Vietnam or any other dictatorship. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, the question is, do you think that a Christian country should be trading with the communist countries and helping them, because basically, of course, you're financing the dictatorship that way.
I understand the question very well. I still think that, God asks us to love one another, and but he'd also tell us to live the truth. I do think that we need to support the Vietnamese people, even though the government, you see, the thing is, if you read his story, it's a very, very complex issue. The French dominated Vietnam. In order for Ho Chi Minh to be able to fight with the French, we are so small, we could not fight against the French. And we did ask President Truman to help us, but President Truman was so deep into supporting Second World War, as well as not wanting communism to spread into China. So he supported something that, against your principle, allowing another country to take away the freedom and liberty of another country and enslave them.
You're talking about basically the French occupation of
exactly,
Vietnam.
Yes. So President Truman, as the most powerful leader of the most powerful country, and still is at that time, could not help the Vietnamese to embrace the same dream that we have. We wanted very much to have freedom. Anyway, so Ho Chi Minh had to go with whoever could help them. It unfortunately is China and Russia. And so I don't know about the Vietnam War. I have the feeling the Vietnam War is almost like a fight between the communist bloc and the, you know, the non-communist bloc.
No, and of course, the thing is, we never tried to win the war in Vietnam. I've talked to the American ambassador, William H. Sullivan, to the commander of the Marines there, General Walt, and both of them. We could have won the war at any time. We were never allowed to try to win it.
But you see, the thing is, though, God is still sovereign over these things, because coming along with the French, there were French missionaries, but there were not the same with the, there were still in small numbers. But when the American soldiers came, there were a huge surge of American missionaries. And so the scriptures, me personally, it may not apply for other people. For me personally, when the American people came, this is when I learned about the love of Christ. The love of Christ, that he died for me. Before that, Christianity is a good religion, that God saved me, that I will have eternal life, that I will have peace, and that life makes sense. Without God, life wouldn't have make sense. But when the American missionaries came, we learned a very new aspect of our Lord, that he is a personal God. He loves us with such gentleness, and he's slow to anger. We're so used to the God that would punish us with all kinds of things. You see, we were afraid of our God. But when the American missionaries came, along with the American soldiers, we learned about a very new, wonderful God. And I think Protestant Christian churches grew tremendously in the 50s, 60s, 70s when the Americans were there.
All right, go ahead.
The war is not... God can use bad things for his purpose. And now I go back to that wonderful man's question. I still think that we still have to ask God what we should do. You know, it makes sense to say that I don't want to be friends with bad people. But when God asks us to really cross over the line to show people how good he is, that's why Jesus prayed for us, that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, the Vietnamese people need American help at the moment. I really believe, with all my heart, that the Vietnamese, when they see the goodness of the American Christians, that we come to help them, to really see how wonderful it is to be free from our bondages, of fear of communism or whatever, I really believe that they will be empowered to change.
All right, let's go to Bart. Quickly, Bart, do you have a quick question?
Quick question. I'll take my answer on the air. Ian, whatever happened to Khun Sa, the opium lord of the Golden Triangle? And I'll take my answer on the air.
Do you know anything about Khun Sa?
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm ignoring about this.
I
will have to look it up.
All right,
thank
don't worry.
Asking.
But thank you so much. We're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, my prayer is with you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is Ian Sawyer, and of course his book is The Song of Saigon, a wonderful, inspiring story of Christian faith, but an important message in times like these today. tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just point out that we have another great book we're offering now. It's called Regicide. It's written by Mr. Gregory Douglas. It's based upon the papers that were given to Mr. Douglas by Robert Crowley, who was the Assistant Deputy Director of Covert Operations for the Central Intelligence Agency. And when he retired, he took many of his personal papers with him. And, of course, when he was facing death, why he wanted the world to understand what really had happened with the Kennedy assassination and why he and a group of other CIA agents had planned to kill Kennedy. And they felt perfectly justified in doing it. They felt this was what was best for the country. And so let me suggest that you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the book Regicide. Now, we offer another book, of course. It's called... it's by James Bamford. It's called Body of Secrets. It's the story of the NSA, the secret organization that taps your telephone, listens to your emails, or reads your emails, or reads your faxes, is monitoring everything going on in America. Of course, they don't do it. They get the British to do that, and we do it over there. Totally in violation of all the laws of this country. But the book Body of Secrets is very good, mainly because it talks about Operation Northwood. And this was a formerly classified government document that went into the background of a plan to kill American citizens to justify an attack on Cuba. And now Operation Northwood is discussed in James Bamford's book, which we carry. But also we'll get you a copy of this declassified government document if you buy a copy of Regicide. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you get a copy of Regicide, if you ask for Operation Northwood, we'll send you the declassified government document. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day with the news behind the news, the story behind the story, as we try to get people to understand what's really going on and to begin to think effectively and clearly about what's happening. Everything is being done to confuse you today as we move rapidly towards World War III. Recent polls show that in Europe, 80% of the people oppose the war. Here in the United States, 57%, and the Washington Post ABC poll on between the 6th and 9th of February, 57% of Americans support the war as long as we have other allies with us. Ladies and gentlemen, the other allies aren't going to fight the battle except for the British, and that's part of the old Cecil Rhodes Anglo-American establishment as these two nations join together in their quest to rule the world. And that's really what it's all about. It's about world dominance. And so we hope that many of you out there will, of course, want to help us as we try to get people to understand that everything going on has been planned. And, of course, those of you who have not yet read the report put out by PNAC, that's the Project for a New American Century. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses. It came out in September of 2000. Now, who is on the Project for Renewing the New American Century? Why, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz. They formed in 1997. They put up a plan to take over the world. And you can go to the website. It'll all be in my next newsletter. But you may very well either want to get this report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, put out in September of 2000, talking about how we were going to dominate the world. And this is what the war is really all about. It's the first in a series of war of war is that America will then rule the world. And, of course, with that will come all the financial advantages for the select few as we move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. If you'd like to get a copy of Rebuilding America's Defenses, we have them bound. They're $9.95. You can go up on the web and actually get them if you want to, if you have a computer. If you want to get a bound copy then for $9.95 plus shipping, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But this is the information you're not going to get elsewhere. Of course, you want to get the list of the people. It's all up on their website. The Project for a New American Century. PNAC, Project for a New American Century. Get on your computer, pull it down, or we'll provide all these things for you. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, we'll send you there the list of all the members of the organization, of PNAC, and their manifesto, which was put out in 1997, calling for American global leadership. That's what it's really all about. And, of course, we will, of course, go to war with anybody who does not go along with our agenda. And an awful lot of American boys are going to die as we pursue this goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion. And you have an obligation to find out if it's true, and if it is true, to take a stand against it, because behind that are the demonic forces we talk about. And in my latest newsletter, I simply quote from a talk given down at Ojai, California, the center of theosophy and Luciferianism here on the West Coast, talking about how, of course, Sanat Kumara is working for the New World Order. And, of course, who is Sanat Kumara? Well, that's an anonym for Satan. They know what it's all about, but they figure the Americans are just too dumb to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us get the truth out across America, the truth that you're not getting from ABC, CBS, or NBC. And, of course, help us to reach others. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, consider telling others about our programs. Get our web, our newsletters. They're up on the web. You can pull them down, copy them, distribute them. Listen to our programs 5 hours a day at RadioLiberty.com. And join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation, or any nation conceived under God, can long endure. Remember what Solzhenitsyn said about America, when asked, pardon me, about Russia. He said, why did Russia fall? Because Russia had forgotten God. What about America? Well, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.